Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
A few weeks ago, I brought a lesson on faith. I'm going to talk this morning about the faith that obeys. I promised a follow-up lesson at that time, and I want to review that just a moment. We were talking about a sermon that I entitled, Understanding Faith. And we began with Hebrews 11 and verse 1, where it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And in that we talked about Bible faith rests upon Bible testimony. There is evidence for our faith. That faith is contained in the testimony of witnesses that saw what Jesus did and recorded their testimony in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And as we look at those witnesses and examine what they said, that's the reason we believe what they believe or what they testify to. And that's not to say we can't know what the truth is regarding Jesus Christ. We can know that just like we know anything else that comes to us by testimony. In fact, most of what we know by testimony. Fellows telling me this morning about the Grand Canyon, how beautiful it was, and the canyon prettier than that. And I believe that based on the testimony of the one that went there and saw that. Though I've never seen the Grand Canyon or this other canyon of which he spake, I believe they were beautiful. And so we know those things by testimony. And biblical faith rests on biblical testimony. And then when it comes to believing what God says, faith in God is simply taking God at His Word. If you don't have the Word of God for what you believe, then you do not have biblical faith for that. Now, some people think faith comes from some other direction, just something just directly given or something like this. Well, that's not what biblical faith is. And so if we have faith in God, we're going to take Him at His Word. And we had a number of scriptures to show that. Luke was writing in Luke 1:4, that thou mayest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. John said, these are written that ye might believe. John 17:20. Jesus said, neither pray I these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You see how it's through the word that we believe. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing. In hearing by the word of God. Acts 15:7. God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Acts 11:13 through 14. Send men to Joppa, who shall call for Simeon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house must be saved. Acts 18:8. Many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed. And were baptized. Luke 8 and verse 12. When Jesus gave that parable of the sower, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And so when we're talking about faith in God, when we're talking about biblical faith, we're talking about believing what God has told us in His Word. We're justified by faith. And that was another point of that lesson. And I'll go through those scriptures right quick too. This is a review of that former lesson. Acts 15:9. He put no difference between us and them purifying their hearts by faith. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. By grace are you saved through faith. Acts 16 and verse 31. They said, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. John 8 and verse 24. Therefore, I say therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Now, we're justified by faith. But none of those passages tell us that we are justified by faith only. The word only has been inserted into those passages, and sometimes in some translations it has been deliberately inserted in there where it's even in the text. But it is not there in the text. Take all the passages that tell us we are saved by faith, and taking God at His word, we believe every one of those passages for what it says. But that's not the only thing that it says. And it never says that we are saved by faith only. And so the lesson to follow up on that about understanding faith is the lesson I'm going to bring this morning that shows us that we are justified by faith, but not by faith only. And the faith that saves is the faith that obeys. Now, it has to be one of the most common and popular doctrines of Protestant denominationalism that says we are saved by faith only. In fact, I've heard them say, the moment you believe, then you are saved. But the Bible does not teach that. In fact, it's not honest to go to a passage that tells us we're saved by faith and say, now that's what I believe, and that's all I believe, and then exclude every other passage. You know, I could go to passages that tell us that we are saved through repentance, or through confession, or through baptism, or through obedience. And in those scriptures, I can find it where that's the only thing mentioned. But there's a difference in a passage only mentioning a thing and saying we're saved by that thing only. There is a big difference in that. And so make no misunderstanding. We must have faith in order to be saved. But that is not to say we're faith only. And the Bible does talk about faith only and present that doctrine. But when the Bible presents the doctrine of salvation by faith only, it presents that as a false doctrine. Now, that is evident that we're not saved by faith only by the text that was read in James chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? And when James is asking that question, can faith save him? He's asking that question in this context of faith without works. He is asking that question, can man be saved by faith only? And denominational preachers say yes. But James says no. Look, the next verses. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now you take someone in need, and all you do is say, well, go and be. And if you don't do anything to help him, then he has no help. It doesn't help anything if you don't do anything about it. And that is the illustration regarding faith only. Faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now, he doesn't stop there. Look at the next few verses. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. You cannot show something without works. How are you going to show someone you have faith if you don't do something? It's an impossible request that James has mentioned to show the absurdity of the doctrine. Show me thy faith without thy works. He says, I will show you my faith by my works. That's easy. It's easy to understand how someone could do that. Show their faith by their works. But you cannot show faith without works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O
vain man, that faith without works is dead. Here's some things we learned from that. Faith only does not show. Faith only is the faith of trembling devils. In fact, the reason they tremble is because they believe, but they just believe only, and don't bring that into any kind of obedience. Faith only is dead. But that's not all that James says about that. In James 2, 21 through 24, he gives the example of Abraham. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works his man is justified, and not by faith only. Now here's some things we learn from that. Obedient faith is the faith of Abraham. Obedient faith is faith made perfect. Obedient faith is imputed for righteousness. Obedient faith makes you a friend of God. And when I read that, I was reminded of what our Lord said in John chapter 15 and verse 14, when He said, ye are my friends if you do what I command you. And so obedience to God is involved in being a friend of God. But going back, obedient faith justifies, and the passage clearly says that it is, we are not justified, not by faith only. And it could not say that more plainer. And so for so many people to run around and say that we are justified by faith only, when the Bible says in no uncertain terms that is not the case, is unfathomable. It just shows that people get their idea and they put on their blinders and they don't want to see past one little thing that they see because it might bother them. And they don't want to look at these other things. But that is just as plain a statement is anything that is found in the Bible. Let me go back to it. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, notice, and not by faith only. Well, what about that? Well, they say, now, wait just a minute. You're talking about Abraham. Now, Abraham's different, because Abraham was a justified man. And this is talking about the justification of a justified man. And in a sense, they're right about that. Abraham's life was a life of faith and obedience. It begins when God called him out of the Ur of Chaldees, and it says Abraham believed and went. He didn't just believe and expect to be transported to the promised land. He went. He obeyed and went on that journey. And all throughout, Abraham believes what God says and does what God says. And the example James gives of that is the sacrifice of Isaac on the altar. When God told Abraham to sacrifice his own son, he obeyed, even to the point of raising his hand with a dagger to pierce it into his heart while he was bound on the altar. And the angel stopped him and said, now I know that thou believest, because thou hast done what I commanded you. And James says that faith he had was perfected then in his obedience. So yes, Abraham lived a life of trust and obey. But you cannot take that and therefore try to dismiss what James is teaching about the need to follow faith with works of obedience. And we know that. Let's apply the law of the next verse to this passage. You know, there's so many times people will read the Bible and they'll get to the point where they find what it says they want to, and they'll stop reading.
And a lot of times, all they need to do to clear up their confusion is read the next verse. And that applies to this passage. It says in James chapter 2, the next verse, and verse 25 says, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. That example of Abraham is an example of a man that lived the life of faith followed by obedience. The example that James gave was that of offering Isaac his son on the altar. But now we've got the example of Rahab the harlot. Rahab was a Canaanite, an inhabitant of Jerusalem. Joshua sent the spies into Jerusalem, and they went to the house of Rahab the harlot to hide themselves from men that were looking for him. And when they came, she hid them and sent the spies out the other way. You go on and read that story. And they told her what to do to save her house, about hanging the scarlet thread in the window. And when they came to march around and take the city in Jerusalem, they got Rahab and her family out of there because she did just what those spies said. This is not the example of the justification of a justified man. This is the example of the justification of a sinful woman, a Gentile, a harlot. And you go read that story, she was a liar. But she wasn't justified because of her lies. She wasn't justified because of her harlotry. She was justified because she believed and acted on that faith. And so, faith without works is dead. Now, we do not have examples in the Bible of anyone that was saved by faith only. But we do have examples of those who are lost with faith only. We read in John chapter 12, 42 and 43, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Did they believe? Well, if you believe the Bible, you believe they did, because it says that they believed on Him. But they would not confess Him. And Jesus said in Matthew 10:33, whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Here is an example of some men who were lost by faith only. We've got another example in Acts chapter 26, verses 27 through 29. Paul is preaching, and King Agrippa is in the audience. And he turns in his sermon and says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Put that in context. Paul has been preaching from the prophets that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and has come to save the world. And in that context, he asked King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? And before Agrippa could answer, Paul, knowing the heart of Agrippa, said, I know that thou believest. Agrippa believed. And Agrippa said unto Paul, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And the best answer to that is the one Paul gave. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds, referring to the chains with which he was bound as he was preaching, Paul being a prisoner before King Agrippa. Now there's a difference. And almost, and altogether. Almost a Christian is not a Christian. Paul wanted him altogether a Christian. Faith only is almost, but obedient faith is altogether. Now, We're saved by obedient faith. And the examples of obedient faith being effectual are found throughout the Bible. And I'll give you just three of them here this morning. One of them in Hebrews 11 and verse 30, where it says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down." And you can read that account in Joshua chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. In fact, in Joshua 6, verse 1, Paul told Joshua and the children of Israel, "I have given Jericho to you." Speaking of it as a past event, it's so certain that it would come to place. But he gave them the instructions on how to take the city of Jerusalem. And God told them, "Now you walk around that city in silence." So they got out and they marched around the city in silence. And they did that once a day for 6 days according to God's instructions. And God further instructed them on the seventh day, "You march around that city in silence 7 times. And so 7 times on the seventh day, the children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho in silence. And then God told them after they had done that, the priests were to blow the trumpets and the people to shout with a great shout and the walls would come down. And that's exactly what happened. And that's what's referenced in Hebrews 11:30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Did they believe what God said? They did. And they demonstrated that faith by their works. And by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Now notice this. After they were compassed about 7 days. Hebrews 11 and verse 7 is an example. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Did Noah save his family by faith? God told Noah there's going to be a flood, and you need to build an ark. And Noah believed what God said and demonstrated that by building that ark as God had said. And it says in Genesis 7 and verse 5, confirming this point being made in Hebrews, Noah did according to all the Lord commanded him. And because Noah put his faith into action by obeying what God said, then Noah and his household were saved. There's an account in Numbers chapter 21, verses 8 and 9, about the children of Israel rebelling against God while they were in the wilderness. And God sent fiery serpents among them to bite those people so that they would die. And they pled unto God for mercy, and God told them what to do that they might be saved. It says, "The Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it on a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone is bitten, when he looketh upon it, he shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. God told them what to do. He says, "If you did, this is what I will do." They did what God said. And as a result, they lived. Now, there wasn't someone running up to them saying, "Do you believe that God, for Christ's sake, has put a serpent on the pole to save you?" And they say, "Yes." "Well, then you don't have to do anything else. Just stay here and you'll be all right in a little while." And they would have died. Because God told them to look upon it. Now, that is not hard to understand. God told them what to do, and they were saved when they did what God said. It's not faith only, it's trust and obey. Someone might ridicule that and say certain things. We're saved by obedient faith today. And Peter explained that on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." But you should not expect to receive the remission of sins and have that salvation given to us by the Holy Ghost if we don't repent and if we're not baptized. And so people ridicule that. And they say, "Oh, you're just preaching water salvation." But would they ridicule the children of Israel marching around that wall in silence and say, oh, you just believe in marching salvation? Or would they ridicule Noah as he's building the ark? And they said, Noah, you believe in ark salvation. Or would they ridicule the children of Israel in the wilderness and say, now, you just believe in snake salvation? They may say, you just believe in water salvation. But they have hardened their hearts against the truth. Because salvation comes when we trust and obey, regardless of what they say. And we need to take God at His word. The faith that saves is the faith that obeys. And so we do not hesitate to preach that in this world. When people are looking for some easy way to try to get through the pearly gates without making a change in their life, and without coming obedient unto God and submitting their lives unto Him, and there's a broad path that leads to destruction, but the narrow way leads to life. And if we want that assurance of salvation, not going to bed wondering, well, I hope I'm saved, but that assurance of salvation, it comes by faith. God tells us what to do to be saved. We can do what He said and know that we are saved, and our confidence will be just as strong as our faith in His words. And so, it is a blessed gospel to preach. We need to trust and obey. And we would beg of you that if you believe, then show your faith by obeying Him in repentance, confession, and baptism, and like Abraham, living a life of trust and obedience.